This is JFM Podcast.
Amid all the situations happening in the country, the president of Nigeria, Bola Ahmed Tinubu, has requested the governors of the state to give him plots of lands or to give him lands and see how we end insecurity in Nigeria in 2 to 3 weeks. Now, the question that a lot of people beg to ask is, what does the plot of land has to do with ending insecurity? Well, before we delve into the matter of discussion proper, on Friday night, during the weekend, it was said to be that some members of the Nigerian police force, officers of the Nigerian police force, harassed, a DJ in the city of Jos, who actually plies his trade here on JFM 101.9. That's DJ Wheeze, and that act has been called condemnable by members of the office, saying that the Nigerian police, of course, having said that the citizens have fought against sometimes back the brutality of the Nigerian police force, still went ahead to do this. And I think there has been a call to checkmate the activities of the Nigerian police, calling that act unjust. At the same time, of course, asking the Nigerian police force to go deep into the situation and make sure the right or the call for justice is being answered every time we ask for it. I don't know why you have to embarrass a citizen who actually went to do his business. A DJ actually works any time of the day, any of the day. Being it's weekends also, you should know they might be needed in various clubs and other places. Social lives are actually ongoing. So I see no reason why the Nigerian police force will come all out to attack or to fight him and other three members of the vehicle, or three people were in the vehicle with them. Well, it was a dastard act, and it has been mentioned to be condemnable. Away from that, quickly, just to let you know on this one, that members of, or following the dismissal of the application for the review of the judgment of the Court of Appeal, the 16 sacked People's Democratic Party, that's PDP, members of the Plateau State House of Assembly, have taken their case to the Supreme Court, describing the appeals court decision as a temporary setback. The lawmakers expressed their determination to pursue legal recourse in the matter. Speaking to journalists, Honorable Dalio Form, the former member representing Jos South constituency in the Assembly, revealed that their counsel are taking steps to seek a review, including applying for the National Judicial Council NJC and writing to the President of the Court of Appeal. However, the case was unexpectedly slated for review before a 3-man panel instead of the requested 5-man panel. Well, information reaching me also says that the Supreme Court has said that before this case will be listened to, the members or the court, the lawyer to these very members will have to clear the said amount by the Court of Appeal before the case will get its hearing. Well, this will surely be having a special day to discuss, but just to keep you in the light, at the same time, workers there in Plashema, that's Plateau State Controlled Health Management Agency, have come out to make some complaints about how the things have been going in their agency, saying they are not happy after 17 people were replaced and after when they were asked to work for some months before the replacement was done. Well, we'll surely look into this matter in due course and, of course, also get back to you on that note. Well, like I said, it's a beautiful morning. We'll be going through some of the major issues trending in the world of politics and, of course, in Nigeria. Once again, good morning. And, of course, not alone in the studio as usual. I am Richard Badum.
And I'm Naomi Karim. Welcome to the Let's Talk segment of the Morning J on J11.9 FM, where we get to talk about pressing matters across the country and, of course, in our state. We have our guest in the studio with us this morning. He has been with us right from the newspaper review. Thank you very much for joining us again, Extravagant Malumi.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on this platform. I think it's been a while I appeared on Let's Talk. So I'm delighted this morning being here with you. And let me lend my voice to the character and manhandling of one of our staff, DJ Wiz, by the Nigerian men of the Nigerian Police Force. I like to say that professionalism is highly needed in your job. Your good sense of judgment, your good sense of direction. You have to be intentional about it. You have to be deliberate about it. You have to be concerted about it. Unlike what we see on our streets, you see the police looking at a dreaded young person as a criminal, or someone carrying a laptop as a criminal, or someone who decides to dress like a Rastafarian as a criminal. In our time and season in this 21st century, it is said that whatever makes you feel good, that's your business. Go ahead and do it. So you have to attach professionalism. We are talking about DJ Wiz just because that's a voice. He works with an organization that has a voice.
Yes.
Can we now imagine what happens to other Nigerians that does not have a voice like DJ Wiz? Nigerians are suffering under the way and manner some Nigerian policemen go about their duties. I have met some of very nice, polite, well-informed policemen. I've encountered them. For instance, encounter someone like DSP Alabo, the police PPRO.
Yes.
You feel like joining the Nigerian police.
That's true.
And I've also met one Obinna, the DPO of A Division. I don't know if he's still there in A Division, but that's a man that whatever case that comes to his table, he looks at it and discharges it dispassionately, and ensuring that peace is brokered between the two people involved or more people involved in whatever case. Obinna in A Division is an outstanding policeman.
All right.
The first time I met with this man and I engaged him deliberately into a certain discussion and I saw his sense of judgment to issues, I said, man, if I were still young, I would have loved, because of this man, joined the Nigerian police force. So I'm saying this, the commissioner of police should look into the activities of these men, a few of them, insignificant percentage of them, who brings bad name to the Nigerian police. More especially, this guy that moves in a white bus. You hardly see them on police uniform. You know, heavy guns, standing at various junctions, stopping people at will. And in most cases, they've been accused of extorting money. It is so sad. You travel on our Nigerian highways, you see police collecting money and giving you change, not minding the occupants of the vehicle.
All right, I think you're actually going into this matter.
I am actually saddened by that. That's why I feel like bringing them to the front burner.
Okay, let's quickly move straight to the matter of discussion. Of course, we believe that to be dealt with as the management of JFM 101.9, of course, the Nigerian police force are looking into that very matter. So we just hope the very best of judgment comes out. Let's move straight to the topic of discuss today. All right, to let you know quickly that President Bola Ahmed Tinubu yesterday said if governors could provide land, he would unveil a comprehensive plan that would stop the farmers' headless clashes in the country within 2 or 3 weeks. The president spoke in Mina while inaugurating the remodeled Mina Airport Terminal and commissioning some agro-processing equipment purchased by the Niger State Government. He urged the state governors to quickly pay the 30,000 Naira wage award to workers to ease their financial stress. The president described the agricultural revolution agenda of the Niger State Governor Umar Bago as a bold step of the right direction. President Tinubu made that statement of, you know, providing land, that he would unveil a plan, a comprehensive plan that would help solve the farmers' headers clashes in the country within 2 or 3 weeks after, you know, the then or the former House of Rep Speaker, you know, from Bauchi State, that's Yakubu Dogara, made one or two statements. Let's quickly go to hear from President Tinubu on what
on the exact words he used in making those very statements.
Today is a very important day. I heard Dogara, former speaker, talking about what we must do to join the club of farmers and how do we feed our people and use the economic opportunity to mitigate and correct the problem of violence, attacks, cattle rustling, and all of that. We are going to organize. Give me 2-3 weeks. It will be part of the inauguration of the livestock change in Nigeria. We've seen the level of commitment here from the state level. We've seen leadership and the success story of any leader. We depend on the ability to do what they ought to do at the time it also be done. It is that time now for Nigeria to change the challenge and make it an economic opportunity.
All right, that was the president. He said it's time to use the challenge to make it an opportunity. But, Extravagant Malobi, let's quickly go like this first. Let's see this issue like this. The president, actually, let's begin with what he said, that the governors should give me plots of land, knowing fully well that there is a statement that goes thus, or there is a law that says all lands belongs to the government. What goes beneath the land, or what is beneath the land, is for the federal government, and the federal government can also demand for any land they want in the country through the state governors. Now he has the power to actually do that. We have a lot of insecurity issues in the country, but the first question I want to put to you is that, are we talking about farmers herders clashes now in Nigeria, or is it banditry and pure terrorism, looking at the way things have been, because it's not just the farmers who have been attacked completely?
Well, once more, good morning to our ardent listeners. Attempting to answer your questions directly, what is conflict? Conflict is when, or clash, when you have two or more people contending for an issue and then attacking themselves. When you say an attack, when a group of people stronger than yourself, more armed than yourself, invading your territory, like in the case of Nigeria, even at the wee hours of the night, when people are innocently, unsuspecting, sleeping in their various houses, and some people will invade their community or their locality, kill them, burn their houses, take away their women and children, and so on and so forth. Do you call that a clash? That is not a clash. That is an attack. Now, in the issue of Nigeria, for instance, the question is, are we experiencing farmers' herders' clash or attacks on innocent citizens of the country? Now, the implication of what the president is saying and most of the elites are saying, if you say that it is a clash, then you will be right to say that these killings are perpetrated by herders, because we are yet to see herders killed in their numbers and their cattle killed as well. But we are constantly seeing people, presumably farmers, killed, houses destroyed, and their innocent women and children abducted. So when you say it's a clash, it means that the majority of these killings and abductions we are seeing are being done by herders. Now, that's a food for thought. Can you remember that on 29th day of November 2020, over 40 rice farmers in Borno State were beheaded? And that actually sparked a national outrage. And all the government could say through the chief of army staff then was that the farmers didn't take permission from the security before going to harvest from their farmland.
They didn't take permission before they went to plant.
Permission
from their own farmland.
From their own, from the security before going to their own farmland. The story is, you can check it up, 29th day of November, it was reported widely on national dailies. And people ask questions, in your own country, in your own land, in your own farm, you were killed and beheaded, and all the government could say was that you didn't take permission. Now, it may also interest you to note that businessmen goes to Borno State for fish business. As it were today, this businessman can no longer directly go to buy these fishes. Rather, some people, security men, are the middlemen who get these fishes and they sell to the traders. Mm-hmm. Look at that. Now, the question you ask again, are we experiencing clashes? Are we experiencing attacks? Now, if we have criminals who have found banditry, kidnapping, terrorism as a means of making money, that the president is yet to understand by that statement, the implication of that statement he made shows that he is not yet at home with the realities happening in the country. For instance, during the era of President Muhammadu Buhari, he made a statement that Nigerians need to continue asking him questions for explanation. He said that those killing Nigerians are foreigners. Very bold statement that these are not Nigerians but foreigners. So the question is it normal as a president who sworn by the Constitution of the Federal Republic of Nigeria to defend the integrity, our borders of the country, defend our citizens and the properties of Nigeria, is fully aware that we are being attacked by foreigners? Where are they coming from? Who mans our borders? Who allows them entrance? And where do they reside? And I can answer a little of this. I have made my personal research on this, and I discovered that these bandits, these criminals, these devils, these satanic incarnates whose trademark is to leave blood, pain, sorrow, and death in the land occupies certain places and locations in Nigeria. And the government will tell you these are ungoverned spaces. But during the elections, there are no ungoverned places. Votes are garnered from these areas that are called ungoverned places. And these criminals dwell there. And even for fear of being killed, these communities, you know, exist side by side with them. Mm-hmm. And if for any reason you sell them out, watch what happens to that community. They will be invaded, they will be killed to be taught a lesson. So, and there was a report that came up a few weeks ago by SB Morgan Intelligence. You know, they revealed that farmers across northern Nigeria pay as much as 100,000 naira to access their farmlands during the planting or harvest season. And they said that failure to do so usually results in forfeiture of harvest, abduction, or even death. So, because of fear, most of these communities, you know, maintain their cool because they have been conquered, they have been defeated. They have established rulership and government over them. And permit me to say that there are governments under our government in Federal Republic of Nigeria, because there are places where these criminals impose tax on the communities before they go to the market to sell their farm produce, before they go to harvest. So they have been conquered to that point that they play along. And if for any reason they divulge information about about these criminals, they are always taught a bitter lesson. So they play along. So the question you ask, does the president of the Federal Republic of Nigeria and those managing our affairs as a country, do they understand a little of this explanation I have just made? I traveled to the southeast during the heat of killings and beheading of traditional rulers in the southeast. And I tried to make some inquiries. In fact, when I landed, the first thing my elder brother told me is, boy, be careful of your discussion with anybody, because you have informants, you have people, you don't know the divide in which they belong. And sometimes when you say certain things, you just see the next is that you are attacked. Because when you say certain things contrary to the oppressions, and you are vociferous about the activities, you are gone. And that was the case with some of the traditional rulers in the Southeast then. You find out most of them that comes out, even to speak against the activities of these bad guys, they don't see the next day. They are killed. There is no security to protect you. And oftentimes, when I hear people say, some leaders are not talking, some other leaders are not talking, I laugh. Because some of these leaders, when they talk, they don't live to see the next day. They are attacked. Either their wives or children are abducted if they can't reach them, or they are anybody related to them. So you find out that in the midst of all of this, you discover one thing, that these criminals have become so emboldened. They have a high level of impunity. They have a high level of courage with which to attack Nigerians without getting bloody nose, even from our security apparatus. Now, coming back to the statement made by our president, Ahmed Bola Tinubu, let me so refresh the mind of our listeners that on the 4th of July, 2018, the spokesman of then President Muhammadu Buhari, Femi Adesina, made a similar statement when there was massive killing in Benue State, which led to the mass burial that was given to the victims by then Governor of Benue State, Governor Otun, which was aired in some of our national televisions. And the government was so furious and angry about it, because they said that thing he did was to embarrass the president of Nigeria then. And on the 4th of July, 2018, Femi Adesina made a statement that sparked national outrage, in line with what Tinubu just said.
Yes.
He said, give land for ranching better than debt. Give your land for ranching better than debt, so that you can stay alive. And the question is, do they look at it as a way of giving land to those who are not Nigerians? Because President Muhammadu Buhari has said they are not Nigerians. Probably they are looking for settlement. So by implication, going by the outfall of this statement, made in 2018 by Femi Adesina, made in 2024 by President Ahmed Bola Tinubu, does that suggest that this land owned by Nigerians, is what some people are contesting?
And this begs this question now, that at some point, when you hear statements like this being made by government officials, it means one way or the other, the security apparatus are not allowed to do their job. They're not given, the right the right will to actually go about their duties. And that's why statements like this have been made, because I see no reason why personally you will come out, as a government official or as an aide to the president, to actually make that very statement. Give lands than other, better than death. It means if you don't give your land, they will kill you, and there's nothing the government will do.
Yeah.
Now, that is coming from a government official.
You understand?
So what then is the hope of the Nigerians, citizens.
Now let's get to Benue State. In Benue State, where the government said it will deploy the instruments of the open grazing prohibition of and ranches establishment law of 2017 to prosecute any herder caught with hams or found grazing cattle in the openly within the state. Remember, when the former governor was there, Samuel Otom, while he was the governor of the state, at some point, many people agreed to the fact that I think the major reason he had was he did not allow the open grazing. He actually wanted a ranch, and he refused to give land for ranching again for cattle to actually move on. Now, Reverend Father Alia, who is the governor of the state, has come out and give laws that they should allow them to do the open grazing just for peace to reign. At the same time, they should not be caught with arms. Now, if they are caught with arms, who should be responsible for the arrest of these people? Because it seems in Nigeria, some citizens are better than others.
Well, I think whatever Reverend Father Alia, the governor of Benue State, is doing right now is a manifestation of helplessness. It's like a sinking man.
But this action should actually have its own implications.
Yeah, it does. That's why I will get to that.
All right.
It's a manifestation of helplessness. When you found yourself in a situation that is more powerful than yourself, what do? You play along, just like an Hausa proverb said that if a fight pass your power, you should turn it to play. Mm. That's exactly what is happening, because when Governor Tom enacted that law, the issue is that does he have the police under his control to effect that law? Does he have, at best, you can hire some youths and give them then gun? Do they have the then gun? Does he have the enough firepower to match with the one the criminals are coming with? So it's a simple way of pushing them forward to committing suicide. So in the case of Benue State, it's a case study. Don't forget that the then governor of Plateau State, Right Honorable Simon Lalong, at his arrival at the airport was accosted by journalists. And he was talking about the killings, the massive killing in Benue State. He said, I warned him. I told him this will not work and all that. And people were angry that shouldn't have been your statement in the public. If it was a conversation between you and the governor, you should have kept it to yourself and at best sympathize and mourn with the people of Benue State. So that tells you how helpless Nigerian governors are, even though they are called the chief security officer of their state.
Just for position.
Just for position. It's only in paper. They cannot even call the commissioner of state of their state to order. Mm-hmm. Commissioner of police. You saw how the police took over the State House of Assembly. Contrary, the governor was not aware of it. His opinion was not sought. So that's to tell you that they don't have the control. Unfortunately, there's a lot of security votes and money for the governors to play around with, toy around with. And under Nigerian constitution, you are not called to account how you spent security votes as far as Nigerian situation is concerned. So it's another way for them to enrich themselves without positioning themselves for questioning. Now, coming back to the issues on ground, my brother. Look at Caleb Mutfwan. Just on assumption of office, we saw the massive killings. Christmas Eve, over 200 people or something close to that were killed in Bukos, in Mangu, and in Barkinladi. You saw how pained the man was. You saw how restless he was. He made a trip which brought down to our state all the heads of securities in Nigeria, and they made a promise of nipping the situations in the bud. Good. But it wasn't long we saw another attack. It tells you that if, for instance, the security apparatus were under the control and command of the governors, Caleb Mutfwan, as I've seen him as a man of action, would have done something that would have nipped this situation in the bud. My brother, we have lost so much as a country. Do you know that there was a report in 2021 that it was a data from Next Year SPD, Violent Conflict Database 13, shows that in 2021 alone, that these conflicts occurred 71 times, resulting in 406 deaths, 49 injured, and 15 kidnapped. You know, in Northwest alone, they suffered 15% of these deaths. Then North Central, being Middle Belt, suffered 61% of these deaths. Southwest suffered 12% of the deaths. Southeast, 9% of the deaths, while South-South, 3% of the deaths. Of the deaths that happened in 2021. Now, it was even more terrible and devastating in 2022, 2023, and 2024, more devastating. If the report of that of 2023 is released now, I'm sure it's going to be more triple of whatever we saw in 2021. My brother, it's high time we told ourselves the truth. Do you know that the former governor of Kaduna State, Mala El-Rufai, would have been questioned by Nigerians by the statement he made when he said that he spent over 50 million naira of Kaduna people's taxpayers' money. to settle the killer so that they will stop killing. It means that you know them. It means that they are not spirits.
They are not spirits. They are humans.
It means
like
they are
you.
Humans.
Yeah.
It means that they can be approached.
Yes.
Now, Shegumi, who was talking,
he was the intermediary between the government and the bandits.
And the bandits took pictures. Even the former governor of Zamfara State, we saw the pictures he took with some prominent bandits with AK-47 hung on their shoulders, promising that peace had been brokered, monies paid to them so that they would stop killing. At the end of the day, what happened? The very Hilux vans that we are giving to these criminals were used few weeks later for attack and all that. So it tells you that our elites understands what is happening, but they project it to Nigerians as though they are living in limbo, making statements that suggest that they don't understand what is happening. Can I even ask you, where is the Tucano jet? So much talked about under President Muhammadu
Buhari. I think we're almost forgetting that very
well. Forgetting that, and Nigerians are not asking questions.
That's as a matter of fact, this also brings back the question of dialogue. Because if you know who these bandits are, if you know who the people causing these troubles are, and they are refusing, I mean, there are times where they have tried to dialogue with them, and it proved abortive. So what did we do after these dialogues didn't work out? And are they still, I mean, at the end of the day, what is the purpose of having these dialogues when we know the criminals that should be apprehended?
Each time they say peace pally, peace dialogue, there was even a time peace pally was going on here on the plateau. While the peace pally was going on, people were drinking swan water and taking tea in the morning. Mm. Smoke was rising in Bukos. Killing were going on. Even when the vice president, former vice president Osibanjo visited Plateau State, even as he was being hosted by the former governor, the killings were going on in Benue State. And I remember there was a circular or an information instructing radio houses, don't talk about it, don't mention it, so that we don't embarrass our August visitor. I mean, is that supposed to be so? And even in that visit, he promised 10 billion naira to the people of Plateau State to cushion the effects of those crises that have been happening in Plateau State. Richard Badu, you are a journalist. Go and find out. Has that 10 billion naira been given to people of Plateau State? Your guess is good as mine. Now, the question is, we have lacked political will to solving these problems. Two, we have faced these issues with so much of insincerity. Because I can't imagine a situation where a community were attacked, ransacked, the people living in IDP camps, under Harmattan, no blanket or sweater. You don't have good water for them to drink. You don't have even water for them to take their shower at those IDP camps. The security men at the IDP camps are even taking advantage of their girls because they are exchanging sex for food and all that things.
Which is absolutely terrible.
Yes. And under this situation, those that perpetrated the crime, you are taking good care of them, telling Nigerians that they have repented. Why you are not paying attention to those who have been made orphans, who have been made widows, who have been made homeless, who have been plunged into a state of hunger and pains and deaths? Then those who perpetrated the crime are reformed, rehabilitated, projected as repentant, shown uniform, and they were celebrated on national television.
That's true.
And there was an accusation that some of them are absorbed into our security. I mean, what happened in Kano a few months ago gave credence to that, where we were told that criminals' hideouts were raided and over 50-something of them were recruited into Nigerian police as constables so that they can help Nigerian police to fight criminals.
That has been ransacked by these terrorists, and then you're coming to see these same people wearing
those who
uniforms that are supposed to protect life and
exactly
property. What then goes on in the minds of Nigerians? What goes on in the minds of these victims?
It tells these people that the country they should be loyal to, you know, has treated them as objects, not as humans. And it's so saddening. Then how do you ask for patriotism and loyalty from such people? What you do, like I said earlier during the newspaper headline, that the monsters we created yesterday by our actions and our inactions are what is eating us today. And today we are even creating more monsters by our actions and our inactions that will challenge us even tomorrow.
Before we open the phone lines, I just want to ask this. The president's request of getting lands, you know, and give him 2 to 3 weeks, it will deal with insecurity in Nigeria, the farmers' headers clash especially. Do you think that is achievable?
If finally
the governors choose to say, okay, take one hectare of land and do whatever they want to do, all we just want is end this. What's the feasibility?
Let me refresh your mind. All under President Muhammad Buhari, they talked about Ruga. Nigerians didn't understand it. They fought against it. They talked about ranching. Most Nigerians said, is ranching a government business or an individual business? Cattle rearing, is it a government business or an individual business? How much of tax are we getting from this? Because it's supposed to be a business.
Yes.
If a businessman, for instance, wanted to do his business, either he gets a land, he buys a land, establishes his business, or he goes to rent a shop, then why will you force us, compel us to give land for some people you have said that they are not Nigerians for their own personal business? Let me tell you that under President Muhammad Buhari, Zamfara State donated a land for ranching. Ganduje, who was the governor of Kano State, even said that he has land to give the federal government for ranching. And you know that billions of naira, check it up, it's in the news, billions of naira were made available to some states in the north for ranching business. Now the question is, what is the state of that money released? What is the condition and the level of supposedly ranching that was to solve these problems? So the question you want to ask yourself, in the first instance, federal government does not own land.
Mm-hmm.
The land is held under custody by the various governors of the states. Now, if the governors, for instance, will want to give a land, you need to consult with your people.
True.
We need to even understand this thing called ranching. Because in 21st century, it's absurd to still find animals roaming our streets, blocking our roads, causing accidents.
Even in the nation's capital, there was
even a time that the premises of House of Assembly, a picture went viral of animal grazing there. Go to University of Jos permanent site. Sometimes you find animals, you know, grazing on the field and causing fear to the students who are there. In 21st century, look, you can't find this in Ghana. There was a time Ghana launched what they called Operation Cow Leg. They banned open grazing and they empowered the people. Wherever you saw cattle moving around your premises, look for machete and cut their legs. So they called it Operation Cow Legs. Cut the legs of the cow. The government was there to protect it because it was banned.
But I think that can be applied in Nigeria, yeah? Because you know already, I think the bandits have actually occupied one full region of the country.
Because the government has given them the oxygen to breathe.
Yes.
Let me tell you, government has anywhere in the world has the monopoly of violence. Government has what it takes to enforce peace around you. Look at the kidnapping of 280 something students in Kaduna. Have you seen any national outrage?
Mm.
Have you heard anything like being pained, as I was this morning during the newspaper headline?
Mm.
What remained of me last night was to shed tears, because when I put myself in the shoes of these parents whose children left in the morning and they gave them kisses of a goodbye, and until you return. And as it is now, they don't know whether those kids are still alive. I mean, how can you explain it?
Hmm.
How were they packed, 280-something students, kept in another country or still within our borders?
Still in Kaduna State.
And we are not seeing helicopters flying over that environment.
Until now.
We cannot see the Nigerian army, the Nigerian police, you know, moving from different parts of the country to surround that environment and pound these criminals, even though some people may say they may use the children as a human shield, but circle them until they run out of food and water.
Right.
Government has what it takes
to do that.
They have the monopoly of violence. And even as you talked about negotiation or whatever, government anywhere in the world negotiates from the position of strength, not the position of weakness. Government will pound you and then extend olive branch. You crawl out of your hole and be the one begging for amnesty, not the government chasing you with money.
Government don't bow to pressure.
No, at all.
It should be the other way around.
In fact, it is said that kings don't bow
at all. All right, let's open the phone lines for those who are sharing their thoughts. We see our phone lines already buzzing. You may want to be part of the conversation or discussion. All you just need to do is to drop your message or comments on our Facebook page or Twitter. That's our Facebook. On Facebook is JFM. JFM Live, while on Twitter is still JFM Live, whichever one you want to, or you see at JFM Joss on Twitter too, to get across to us on social media. But the numbers for you to call are 0905-566-6699 and 0812-187-7777. Any of the numbers are open. Remember that opinions and thoughts of individuals are strongly the opinions of the individuals and not properties of JFM 101.9 Jos City, and do well to be civil in making your points without much emotions. I think we'll be able to control our words. Let's get to the phone lines. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Tell me your name and where you're calling from.
I'm Madam Queen calling from Abuja.
Madam Queen, good to have you this morning. Please go ahead.
Permit me to greet my boss, digital pastor, extravagant manager. Good morning.
Good morning, Radio Mama 2.
Yes, sir. Please permit me also to say happy birthday to our governor.
Feel free.
More grace to him.
Amen.
This our country is very, very annoying. I am surprised that our president come out to make this kind of statement that so the government should provide land for the people that are killing us. I don't just understand what is going on in this country. In Benue State, when they place that band of full grazing, even in our village, you cannot release your goat. If you release your goat, go and out, we arrest that goat, and they are going to pay you some of money. So the same people now, the government is now thinking of what to do for them and not what to do for the people that are causing their problem. That is why this problem is not going to end. What I am seeing in this country is that the people that are committing this crime, they are greater than the government. The government is afraid of these people. The government is not afraid of these people. This is not the step that they are supposed to take. When people, the reason why people are afraid of breaking the law is because people will be punished when they break the law. But those that are breaking the law are being, they are hurting them. The people are those that depend on doing evil, they are being fed. And the people that are falling, they are suffering on account of their evil. The ones suffering a double portion of suffering. What is happening in this country? I am so tired of what is going on in this country. Seriously, I don't understand. It's like every governor, every president that comes to power, yes, when it comes to the issue of
alright, thank you so much for your thoughts there. Let's get back to the phone line still. Hello, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning to you. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Zachary, I only from here.
Sorry, I didn't get your name. Please, can you be more audible?
I said Zachariah.
Okay, Zachariah, good to hear from you. Please, the floor is yours.
Yes, good morning. I like the comment of your guest, Extravagant Malody. I, you know, respect him.
All right.
Good morning.
We need people to talk without being like that. Like me now today, if you ask me, based on what we are perceiving, we are seeing the happening, right from the previous government, I am telling you there is something that is going on secretly.
Hello. All right, I think that was a miss. The network actually engaged there. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Richard.
Good morning to you. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Good morning, Sagabaga. I greet you.
Good morning, senior citizen.
We appreciate you. That's the commander I've been on the line this morning.
All right.
Most of us already prepared for disaster. Sorry to you that, like, we know what will happen. And the nation is going to be demanding for land from governor. For what? What is he going to do? Is he super grazing or what? I don't continue where we are. And the demonstration is gone. I remember, I will never forget what Tinubu said. Remember what I did? He was sitting there before the House Chamber about the killing. You know what that man told him? Are you still in a man who knows what to say there? Are you become a goat? Are you a PDP man? In human life, we are playing politics. You know, when you angle with food, with that human impact, with that loss of life, it is a problem. Well, killing in Kaduna, killing in Plateau, killing in Benue, killing in Madagali, killing in everywhere. Which is the domain of hell. We told the social our constitution. When this is happening, this thing should go. You know, what we have made ourselves is unfortunate. I blame the present government because what you don't know is better than you. People would have consulted a committee in insecurity, in oil pipeline, in other things, in even the form of both public and civil services. We know where we have problems because Buhari's administration was colossal loss. Was a genocide, economically, security-wise.
All right, Zachariah, I think we just need to wrap up so we actually call because we have other callers waiting.
Thank you, Richard. Yeah. You must, first of all, know the root cause of everything.
All right, thank you so much. You must know the root cause. Let's get to this one. Hello, good morning.
Richard, good morning.
Good morning to you. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Yeah, Mr. Malobi, good morning. This is Enenche calling from
Tinubu. Oh, Enenche. How are you today?
Fine, sir. How are you, family?
Fine, thank God.
Please, I want to ask a question.
These
bandits of this thing, are they more than our military or what? Yeah, because this thing, honestly, is getting out of hand. And I think it's high time for Nigerians to stop paying ransom to kidnappers. Because I think because they're paying them ransom, that's why they keep on kidnapping people. So I think they should stop paying ransom to the kidnappers, because if they are not paying kidnappers, I think kidnappers will stop kidnapping people. And issue of this insecurity, let the government do something about it, because honestly, it's getting out of hand. Honestly,
all right.
I think they are not our military.
That's true.
So let them do something about it, please. You have a lovely day.
All right, you too. Enjoy your day. Quickly, I think this will be the last call we'll be taking. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, extravagant man.
Good morning.
My name is Nahude Duos, calling from Terminus.
All right.
See, my brother, Malobi, has spoken well. But once more, saying happy birthday for my governor.
Yeah.
Sister. So I'm saying that, does it mean that person, there's one particular people that passes government in this country? Because I don't see the reason why. Maybe the system killing will continue going on. All Mr. President, formalities for them to give land to who? Is it their ancestral land or their father's land or their body to their own money? As the stories I'm hearing in Nigeria, it makes me shy. I feel like I'm not in this country. Because now, Kaduna is demanding 43 real, demanding heroes, demanding motorcycles. So the same people are going to give their land, taking them. Taking them for killing my people. Eh? The same part of the station, they are giving them amnesty. If this government cannot be able to handle this, let them grant amnesty to these citizens. Everybody should carry his own rifle, carry your own phone. So that if he wants to kill me, I kill you. Fine, if he kill me, I go. That is what's better with
all right,
that.
Thank you so much.
I'm crying for this country,
all right.
Honestly.
Thank you for your thoughts.
Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts with us.
Amen. You too. All right, let's go straight to the Facebook comments. The Facebook comments, and let's see some of the comments before Extravagant Malobi try to react to some of the calls we've actually taken and some of the comments we have on our Facebook page.
All right, Suleiman Jibril is saying, Good morning, Naomi and Mr. Richard. As far as I'm concerned, our problems, the country, it's not farmers and heathers. So therefore, Mr. President did not need land, or rather doesn't need any land from any governor before solving the farmer heathers clashes in the country, because the heathers and farmers have good relationship between them. Please, Mr. President, do the needful. And Ayodele Agbabiaka is saying, until capital punishment is meted out to these evildoers, we'll continue to struggle with criminality in our nation. Also, Comrade Dadong Antipas is saying, as far as I'm concerned, nobody is fighting terrorism in Nigeria. In fact, the government is romancing with the terrorists than the peace-loving citizens of the country. May God rescue us in Nigeria. God bless you, my brother Naomi. And my brother Badung and Naomi, I salute my boss. All right, we still have some comments here. Kevin Louis is saying, Nigerians should understand something here. Since farming is a private business where farmers acquired land and farm their different crops, so also is cattle herding, which is a private business as well. The government should instead mandate the herders to acquire land and ranch their cattle for the peace and unity of the nation as a whole. Governors cannot provide lands for ranching of cattle or land for farming of crops for private individuals. One more comment is Albert Akaya is saying, is land really the root cause of these inhumane incessant attacks on the farmers by the herders? Are these herders above the federal government? The president's will to dance to the tune of the herders is not different from negotiating with terrorists, which only solves the immediate problem but fuels future security disasters for the country. The president should analyze the security threats carefully before expending our little resources on these headers. Good morning. All right, Extravagant Malobi, let's get your response to some of these comments calls and the calls that have been made.
Well, let me say this. If a President Ahmed Bola Tinubu is looking for land for ranching, please, we have more than enough land, bigger than the entire Lagos state in Sambisa Forest. That's going to be a wonderful venture for Nigeria. Go there, establish security, establish ranches there, and then let herders grow their animals. You know, do you know when you ranch a cow, you get a better result? They get bigger, they produce more milk. But when you have an animal trek from Sokoto to a place called Umudioka in Anambra State, or trek to Osumenyi in another place in Anambra State, You trek life out of these animals. They lose skinny. But when you ranch them, you get better results. So if it's an issue of land, go to Sambisa Forest, establish a ranch there, put up security, and you can even have a processing factories around there to take away, process this meat, right, take them, and even carry the animals through truck or through train to Lagos or to any other part of the country. Okay. Let me say this
quickly,
that my submission in all of this is a fact that we have criminals who have found banditry, read my lips, who have found banditry, kidnapping and terrorism as a means of making money. The most lucrative business in Nigeria today, apart from oil business and politics, the next is banditry, criminality, and terrorism. Look at how much the kidnappers are asking. The ransom they are asking of 1 trillion. Isn't that more than a budget of some state?
So outrageous.
I mean, we are in for a long journey.
All right. I think we've come to the end of today's edition of Let's Talk on Morning GFM 101.9, Just City. It has actually been a tremendous discussion with you.
Yes.
A swell one indeed with you, Extravagant Malobi. Many thanks for joining us this
morning.
My
pleasure always.
Yes. All right. So to those who called also, many thanks to you. To those who listened all through, we say thank you. And to those who called but we could not reach out, probably take your calls for one or two reasons beyond our constraint, we say a big sorry to you. And thank you also for being a part of the conversation. Messages on Facebook, we couldn't read, so sorry. And to those who sent also, thank you so much. I remain Richard Badung, and with me in the studio has been
Naomi Karim. We do hope that all of these things will be put to rest sooner than later.
Right.
Do have a nice day.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to JFM Podcast.